9 months later or so, I saw on Twitter someone was saying, does anyone want to try and break the world record in the half marathon on the treadmill? I'm like, heck yeah, I do.
The Diz Runs With podcast, episode 213, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, quick word from today's sponsor. Once again, thanks to the good folks from Jabra for sponsoring today's episode. Jabra is a wireless headphone, earphone, earbud, whatever you want to call it, maker, and they've been gracious enough to give away a couple of free pairs of their Pulse model earbuds, which are kind of their best, their top of the end wireless models. And I get to announce today's winner, which is cool. So for everybody that entered in the month of January, you were all entered. We did a random number generator, and the winner of a free pair of Jabra Pulse earbuds is none other than Mr. Stephen Lee. Stephen, congratulations. Be on the lookout for an email from Jabra if they haven't contacted you already. Get your address, all that kind of stuff, and we'll get them sent out to you right away. Everyone else that entered, sorry that you didn't win, but you are automatically re-entered. We're doing another giveaway at the end of February, first part of March. So if you haven't entered, you need to head over to jabra.com/dizruns right now. That's jabra.com/dizruns, and get yourself on the list. And who knows, maybe next month I'll be calling your name as the next winner of a free pair of Jabra Pulse earbuds from the good folks at Jabra. Thank you again to them for supporting the show. And now, speaking of the show, let's get on with the show. Hey guys, today I'm joining a woman that is a two-time Olympic marathon trials qualifier and a very decorated runner. She's a member of the elite team for Wazelle and somehow also still finds time to balance being a mom, a wife, and an entrepreneur all at the same time. Thankfully, she was also able to find time to join me for a bit today, and I'm looking forward to this chat with Melissa Gasek. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi.
So guys, if you want to check out more about Melissa, you can follow her on Twitter, and the handle there is just her name, real simple, at Melissa Gasek. You can also find her on Facebook, and I'll have the links to all those social media profiles in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/213. So Melissa, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask what can be a straightforward question for some, and for some it really is kind of a head scratcher, but that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I'd have to say the 15K or the 10 mile. There's something about the sweet spot that's just a little bit longer, a little less fast, but not the painful distance of the full marathon. There's just something really special about those two distances for me. So love those.
Yeah, definitely. I've never done a 15K race, but I've definitely done a couple of 10 mile races, and completely agree with you. It's not that full out 5K type of just agony from the start, and it's definitely not that grueling thing like the longer races tend to be.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely my favorite, and I can always talk a friend into doing those distances too. So
definitely. Do you? I mean, down here in Florida, it seems like there's not a lot of those kind of middle. There's either, you know, there's half marathons, there's 5Ks, and then there's of course some marathons, but there's not a whole lot of 10Ks and 15Ks and even 10 mile races. Do you find a lot of those up in your neck of the woods, or are they is maybe that part of the appeal as well that they're not just a race you can find every weekend to run whenever you want to?
Although I did come down there last year to do the Gate River Run 15K. So
there's a few, but they're few and far between.
No, we are in a really fortunate area. Wiper Lake is kind of a little sleeper town with a big, beautiful lake. We have a ton of races right around here. And in fact, there's a 10 mile twice a year that goes around the lake that I literally live on, basically. Wow. So I just like, I can warm up in my own house and like just walk over to the start. My neighbors are usually in charge of the race. They're like, Melissa. And there's a 15K as well. And it was probably the first 15K I ever did, the Manitou 15K. It's a tiny little race. It's put on like the Boy Scouts, but you get some good runners out here. It's a rolling course. It's not the hilliest, but for me and my little modest Midwest flat trail runner person, it's hilly for me. So it's great. I love that we have this community of runners just right over here. So yeah. And then the MDRA actually has a 15K. So the Minnesota Distance Running Association puts on a series of races. A lot are very affordable for people who join their group. And then also they make that part of our team circuit now. So that's always been a super fun race. It's also hilly and very muggy usually, but a good tester to see how just a little bit of that uncomfortable distance, but not as fast as a 10K. So, yeah.
Gotcha. How did you get started in running? You've been running for a while, and like I said, lots of wins and top tens, and I mean, lots of accolades. But when was the start for you? Was it early?
Yeah, junior high, I want to say. I did not grow up with runners in my house. I don't know where it came from, other than like, I would go with my grandparents. My grandfather swam every day at the club that he belonged to. So we'd always drop him off to swim his lap. So I think I kind of grew up seeing somebody else having kind of a regimen of exercise. But then we had this like school marathon in junior high, and it was an outside like little roped off course in the parking lot. And I got this weird thing in my head. It must have been a sign of what was to come. I'm like, I'm going to run the whole thing. and like it was like Chariots of Fire was in my head or something. So, yeah, I ran the whole time. Maybe it was like 30 minutes, maybe it's 20 minutes. But, you know, at that time, you think it's like hours. And all my friends are like dropping like flies. So I got some sort of weird rush off doing that. And then, yeah, there was a very historic 10K on Thanksgiving in my hometown, Kenosha, Wisconsin. And so one Thanksgiving, I was like 16, I think. I just thought, oh, I'm going to go do that run. On Thanksgiving, it's snowing, and I'm gonna have like ice on my eyelashes. So I did this. I like survived the distance, and I think I was hooked after that. Came home with like frosted eyelashes. I just thought it was the coolest thing ever, probably. But
yeah, it's there's something about running in the wintertime. I grew up in northern Michigan, so I'm down in Florida now, so I don't have to deal with the wintertime running. But I grew up playing outdoor hockey. So like, I mean, it was, you know, negative temperatures most time, at least certainly the wind chill, and it was brutal. But one thing that I've learned about myself, especially as I've gotten more into running, is that the early morning outdoor cold runs, either whether Florida cold or whether actually legitimately cold, don't work real well for me. Being where you are now, I mean, cold is a fact of life at this time of year. Do you get outside much running in the cold still, or is that kind of not so appealing?
I get scared of it, but I do have a girlfriend that lives in the neighborhood, and we will buck up and put on our outfits and look like wrestling burglars and toughen up. And when it's really bad, I just throw on the god awful like sweatpant look over the sweat. It's usually Wazelle stuff, but I just add more layers, and that usually you can survive anything with layers. So.
Definitely.
It's not the most fun thing, but
but you gotta do
what you gotta do. Yeah. Definitely. My coach is kind of a stickler. My new coach, Stephanie Rothstein Bruce, she really doesn't believe in treadmills, and maybe she just hasn't gotten there yet with her two kids. But so I try to go outside when I can. So yeah.
Gotcha. This is a little bit of a leading question, but where do you stand on the treadmill running?
I prefer it.
Yeah.
I can watch shows. I can read books. My kids, I don't have to get a babysitter. So yeah.
Okay. And with the leading part of that question, doing a little background on you, trying to set, some records, running the half marathon on the treadmill. How did that go? And what brought that, I mean, obviously, I guess if you like running the treadmill, like you look for those types of things maybe, but what was the genesis for that idea? And then how did that attempt go?
That came out of my head just running on the treadmill training for something. I want to say 2 seasons ago, I was like, gosh, I'm getting really good at this. I know my daughter likes the hula hoop. So sometimes I'd be like, what's the hula hoop record? My God, I think she could go forever. So then I'm like, I wonder if there's like a treadmill record, or sometimes I'd hear about someone breaking records on them. And I'm just like, what are the records? How do you even do that? So I looked them up, And I was all set to do it. I talked to the club I was working out at, and then they sold the treadmills.
Oh, no.
Like, well, I can't do it on any other treadmills. You sold the good ones. So then it shot down that idea. And then 9 months later or so, I saw on Twitter someone saying, does anyone want to try and break the world record in the half marathon on the treadmill? I'm like, heck yeah, I do. So immediately I'm like, it's me. Pick me. So it worked out that I could go do it. But the problem was I was getting ready for that 15K and I was like fresh off of cookies and crap off Christmas. And I was not in marathon shape to do it. I had 9 days notice. I had to fly to New Orleans, do it at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon in this really small like conference hall surrounded by people. So I went and did it, but it probably would have been more ideal to do it on my own time where I had plenty of buildup and mental prep. And then also maybe do it by an open door where you can get some fresh air and start at like 8 o'clock instead of 4 p.m. And maybe do it in Minnesota.
Right, right.
I'm like, I think next time I do this, I'll put the treadmill outside in the driveway or something.
Yeah, make it feel a little bit less claustrophobic. And
yeah. Yeah, I got really sick and I stood on that. I stayed on it for like 12 and a half. I was on pace till 12. But I literally got off and I've never been that sick in my life. I literally, so my husband's like, I've never seen you in 27 plus marathons. It's like, I've never seen you that sick. So yeah, it's different. Like if you were running a marathon and you've seen those people like collapse at the finish and you're like, what the heck? You're right there. I think it was very similar to what happens with those guys. But the difference is when you're on a treadmill, it doesn't stop just because you stop. So you're in danger.
Right.
Like the road, you just stop running. The road doesn't make you keep running, you know. So I had to get off so I could be safe. And I guess it's not uncommon. Like the guys that were supporting me had tried to break like a 50K record or something. And he had the same thing happen. So I guess you can really get overheated. So it's definitely something to think about in the future to like keep doors open or something.
So yeah, another reason to have it outside or have the doors open or something.
Yeah. So I have two running stores that have offered to sponsor me do or like have me come out and do it at their place. I just had to figure out now that I know where I stand with the trials, where that might fit. I have to talk to my coach. She told me to chillax this week. So,
well, you gotta listen to the boss.
Yeah. I can't plan too much yet. So
definitely. Talking about that record, was the number something that, I mean, obviously, if you were on pace through 12 and a half, like it seemed pretty achievable. Where does it relate in terms of what you could do on the road as far as times and that type of thing?
I think as I get older, I haven't seen myself run like a sub 121, I would say, in a while. So it was a tall task for me at my fitness level. I just haven't cranked out a fast half in a long time. And so that is one of my goals with Stephanie is to kind of crack that time again, maybe even just go sub 120. So it'd be right on par with a good road race, but you would think that you'd get a little aid from being on a treadmill. I just hadn't put in the work to support that distance and that pace. So it made sense. It was just like a shot in the dark kind of
right.
thing.
Well, and I mean, gosh, you know, like again, like you said, at 12 and a half, something like that, like you were right there.
Yeah. Well, and I just trained for this marathon at different paces, like 6:10s and 6:15. So I ran, I would say, almost 9 to 11 miles this past weekend at just a slightly slower than the pace that I'd have to run. So I think it's there. I just have to pick the time. So.
Well, and yeah, and then, you know.
Or I just wait until I turn masters, and then I have a whole different record level.
There you go. Or set it real quick, and then turn masters, and you got two of them for your name.
Yeah.
But, and again, like I kind of just to wrap that up, I mean, you know, if you have more than 9 days to prepare, it doesn't sound like you're far off. It definitely sounds like it's something that's attainable.
Yeah. And if you have to travel to a super warm area, I mean, both of these cases, like last weekend and in New Orleans, you travel from being in like 20 below to 60, 70 plus degrees. You're just, your body has to acclimate a little bit too. And there could be a bit of that factor. So
yeah,
whatever.
Definitely. so what, well, let me restart that one. In addition to running, you got all these other things that go on in life. I mean, which we all do. I mean, you know, obviously you might be running at a little different level than a lot certainly than myself and a lot of the folks listening. But you know, we all have to balance work and we all have to balance family and all these other things with our lives. How does how does running fit in for you? Obviously it's a priority, but where does it fit in? How do you make time for it all?
I think it's just like anyone else, you know, if you want to be healthy, you really should probably put in some time at the gym or find a way to be fit or, you know, get some fitness in. So I just see it as part of my responsibility as a human being to just do something active, and I enjoy it. I mean, my husband laughs because he'll be like, what do we want to do today? And I'll be like, let's go to the gym or play basketball. He's like, I just don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like fun. So I think everyone's just wired different. Some people have a natural penchant for it, and some just like avoid extra work. Mm-hmm. And I maybe just growing up in a family garden center, I've always just been driven to work a little harder than some people. I don't know. Not that I'm saying people are lazy. I think if you really want to do something, you can make time for it.
Definitely. Definitely. Is your husband a runner?
No.
No. So does that mean that kind of then the running can become part of almost like, I mean, well, not even almost. I mean, it sounds like probably that's kind of your time. I mean, your time to
yeah,
just be by yourself and your thoughts and whatever.
Yeah. It's a good outlet. I mean, he golfs, he's got golf friends and, yeah. And I have friends that run too. So then there's sometimes a social, but yeah, it's just my thing. So it's
gotcha.
my selfish thing.
Do you prefer running with others or running by yourself, or does it kind of depend on what the workout is and what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, it depends on what I'm trying to accomplish. If it's a big workout, sometimes I don't want company because I'm so nervous about doing it myself that I don't like the extra pressure of doing it in front of someone. But I think I should get over that because it's always good to have company and help. But I do, going on day-to-day runs, it's so much nicer to have someone because it goes so much faster.
Yeah, definitely. And just, I mean, just, you know, like at least for me, speaking for myself, you know, sometimes it's nice to be in your own head and sometimes that's the worst place to be. So having some other people to just chat with a little bit can kind of pass the time, make the miles more enjoyable, and also keep you out of your head sometimes.
Yeah.
So looking back on kind of your career to this point, you know, like I said, a couple of times qualifying for the Olympic trials, you've got, you know, some wins and some top tens at some pretty legitimate, or maybe not legitimate, but pretty popular races, lots of good competition. Looking back on it so far, what are some of your highlights of the things you've achieved or the races you've run or things like that so far?
I would say my favorite things are like becoming an All-American in cross country in college. That was pretty incredible. I was second at regions. The race before that was pretty cool. I don't even know how that happened.
Where'd you go to college?
The University of St. Thomas.
Okay, where's that?
It's in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I ended up here. Definitely the Olympic trials. The second one was the best for me. The first one I had been injured, so I just went, but it wasn't like a testament to my fitness or something. The second one was really cool because my family was there. My 3.5-year-old daughter at the time was there. And I ran my PR there. So of course,
oh, nice.
That's always a good day. And then I won a couple marathons, so it's always nice to win.
Yeah, definitely.
Come back and that. And I think my biggest memories are just like being with my friends and, you know, like the Ragnar relays or the Hood to Coast relays. Those are always good memories because you have to go to some dark places to survive those.
Right, right. What is it like lining up at the start of the Olympic trials? Does it feel like it's just another race? Is there extra weight? What does that kind of, or how did you at least experience that twice, obviously, but especially that last one that was really the kind of the highlight for you?
It's pretty magical. I personally, I mean, everyone's different, but I definitely teared up. It was very moving for me. You know, I'm just like an average person and you're up there running with like your idols and it's pretty incredible to think like one of you could be on the Olympic team. I mean, you know, barring like a mass exodus or like got sick from food poisoning the night before, you're not going to make the team. But to us, that's our Olympics, you know, like just a pretty special day to be chosen for and get to do something that you love doing. Yeah. So it's the New York Marathon too, though, was another one of those where they have a really special elite setup where you have your own race separate from the rest of them. It's a little lonely if you're not having your best day, but to be on that Verrazano Bridge, maybe I'm saying it wrong, but
I'm not from New York, so you're fine with me.
Okay, perfect. you know, with people like Paula Radcliffe and Kara Goucher all in the same race, like that's pretty flipping crazy cool that there'd be like 30 of you running the streets in New York alone like mm-hmm. that. So there's been moments like that where you're just like, I'm like, pinch me. I realize I'm like just this weird mortal that is up with these really cool runners. But yeah, so just appreciating that you get to even be there in those moments, I think is what it's about. So
hold that thought for just a second, Melissa. Guys, real quick, just a reminder that again, that Jabra is sponsoring this episode. And you know, if you want to show them that you appreciate them sponsoring the episode, a great way to do that is get your name on the list for people that could win a free pair of their awesome wireless earbuds, the Pulse model. And to do that, all you need to do is head over to Jabra.com. That's JABRA.com/DizRuns and enter. And who knows, maybe next month they'll be calling your name as the next winner of the free pair of wireless earbuds presented by Jabra. So again, thanks to them for sponsoring today's episode. So Melissa, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what you just said and how cool it is for you to be able to run with some of the, you know, the elites of the elites. Have you ever been in a position where it's kind of the tides have turned, where people have felt that way about running with you?
I did one time that sits out or stands out to me a little bit. My daughter was in kindergarten, and I met a new friend at like story time or something, and I was like 11 weeks pregnant or 10 weeks pregnant with my second child, and I wasn't gonna tell anyone. Mm-hmm. We started talking about running somehow, and she's like, "Oh, I must run by your house." I'm like, "Well, we should run sometime." She's like, "Yes." Yeah. So we set a time and we met and we started running and we're talking about different things. And she's like, "Oh, have you ever run Boston?" I'm like, "I haven't." She's like, "Oh, you could totally make Boston." And I think I might have, I don't know if I mentioned the Olympic trials or not. Maybe I did or maybe I didn't. But oh, yeah. So she's like totally encouraging me to try out for Boston. I'm like, "Okay, I'll try that." And then she's like, "What's your best time?" And I told her, but I think she thought I said 3:44 instead of 2:44. She's like, "Oh, you could totally make Boston with that." Okay, yeah, I just haven't gotten there yet. And so I guess she went home and like her husband's like looked up some race I had just won, like the Gasparilla Marathon like a year before that winter or something. So there's a picture of me online winning this race and a Kenyan's like next to me or something. And he's like, "You know, you just ran with..." So I don't think of myself as that person, but that was one of those moments where the next time she's like, "Oh my gosh." So it's one of our, we're really good friends. So it's one of our like funny things we always laugh about, but yeah.
Well, that's an awesome story right there.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, definitely. So at that point, have you run Boston since then?
I've never run Boston.
Is that, I mean, obviously, you know, the qualifying thing, you can handle that part of it. Is there a reason? Is it just hasn't worked out with schedule or timing or?
Yeah, we usually travel. I don't know. I see these people training and I feel like when you do Boston, you need to be super darn fit. I think for a lot of people, being at Boston is the be all end all goal. It was an expensive trip to go to the Olympic trials. It cost us probably $5,000 as a family. And so I've just been cautious about making that extra expense for us. I think I could see myself doing it now as a master's runner. It would be good because there's potential to score. I know amazing runners go do it, but I'd rather almost just wait now until then to do it versus doing it at the end of my open category scoring. Cause I just think you need to be super fit for it. And I'm not a huge hilly run girl. So I think I've been scared of it. I don't want to run slow.
Well, and I mean, you know, it's like you said, for a lot of people, it is kind of the end all be all. I mean, it's my biggest, I think, running goal is to qualify and run at Boston. But, at the same time, like, you know, when that happens, like, I actually almost would rather run slow at Boston and just kind of, you know, soak it all in. And, yeah, exactly. And not worry about going fast, but I'm not worried about going fast most of the time. So it's not, or maybe I'm worried about it, but not as capable of going as fast as I would like to most of the time. So I can see how that would be a little bit of a different experience or different worry, you know, than what I might have.
Yeah. No, I know. I totally understand that. I just, for me, I don't want to just show up. I want to run it hard. So,
well, and I mean, it's not going anywhere. So you got, you can go when you feel like the time is right.
Yeah.
But definitely open to the idea of running Boston at some point.
Yeah, for sure. My husband has clients out there, so they all want me to come out and run it.
Gotcha. Are there any other races, whether big races or smaller races that you haven't done yet that are definitely on the radar for, you know, whether it's someday or whether it's there's more of a date picked out, but something that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I have never done the Cherry Blossom 10 Mile. Mm. And someone keeps picking my brain about that. I've never done like London or Paris. My sister lives in London, so I have an excuse, but they don't just like let you in. You have to like, I don't know, it's kind of convoluted. So I've avoided that one. Or I've heard Berlin is really cool. The only thing is traveling overseas with the time change. I don't know how that affects your system. Mm-hmm. So it would be a concern, like how you best set yourself up for a race like that, so you don't throw your system off completely. Because I think jet lag can be kind of detrimental. So you want to make sure you plan the timing. The other one, I've never run. What was I going to say? Oh, I always thought it'd be cool to do like Athens. That one I would totally just milk. I would not like about my time, but just around that traditional course would be cool.
Yeah, and definitely. Then,
like Napa Valley races would be fun. So yeah, and anything in Florida, I'll come back. I like Florida.
Yeah, it's a good place to be from like mid December to about middle of March, and then maybe you don't want to come back down here after that.
Yeah, I'm a two-time Cape Coral Turkey Trot champion.
There you go.
Come back this year to defend my title, but yeah.
Oh, good deal. So, you know, one of the other things that we mentioned at the beginning, and I'm always interested to learn more about folks that have kind of that entrepreneurial tendency or that mindset. You know, it's something that's certainly not always the easiest thing. There's plenty of things to struggle with. Has that always been something that has been interested to you, kind of working for yourself and doing your own thing, or how did your entrepreneurial ventures come about?
I think I was always that person in growing up that people would be like, "Can you make a poster for this? Can you draw it, Melissa?" So I would always be the one that would be making stuff. Like the cover of the yearbook or stuff like that. And I was always like with our teammates and stuff, I always got a big kick out of making them motivational posters or pictures or things like that. So I think the graphic side was always there. I always liked painting. And my parents owned a garden center when I was growing up. So I grew up working, where you had to like answer the phone politely and, you know, you were working at home or helping my parents stuff, direct mail, stuff like that. So I always liked to work. And then I took some jobs at like ad agencies and marketing type companies. And then when I had my oldest daughter, I decided to work for myself. The other art directors were like, "Get out of here. You're too talented. You should do your own thing." So that kind of gave me the courage to do it. For myself, and I just always found clients. I've been really lucky, knock on wood. Even when I think it's going to slow down, things always come in. So I've had a nice balance of being able to do things that my kids need me to drive them to or take care of things at home. And I did go in and work for someone for a couple of years, after I had my second, but I still found that our family does better when I'm kind of home-based, clients are either remote or local. So I don't have so much of a commute, because with John being in Shakopee, he has an hour plus drive every day, both ways. It's just nice that one parent is nearby. So
yeah, definitely. Give yourself a plug. What is it that you do in case anybody might be listening in the need?
My specialty is corporate branding, brochures, catalogs, print materials, like event plan, like not planning, but like the look and feel of events or things like that. And then also like website development for e-commerce or just regular brochure type websites for companies. So yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. And obviously, again, I mean, with having your own thing, it gives you that flexibility not only with the family and being close by with the kids, but also, you know, if you need to go on a, you know, if you're going running somewhere or training, things like that, you've got that flexibility to do what you need to do, which is definitely nice to have.
Yeah. My laptop goes anywhere. So I'm like, wherever you want to move or go, I can bring my, as long as we have internet access, I'm usually pretty good.
Right. How old are your kids?
Vivian is turning 11 and Ivy's 4.5.
Gotcha. I'm sure that keeps you busy. We've got a 1.5-year-old, and that's enough to keep us busy at the moment. But I'm sure with two, I can't imagine.
That's a busy age. 18 months.
Yes.
Is a very busy, and they're very attached to mom. I mean, maybe not in your case, but from my friends that have 18-month-olds, it's a tough age. They're very busy. They're really super cute, but they. Yeah,
she's
don't quite know how to communicate yet very well. So
exactly, and it seems like, at least for ours, she seems frustrated. Like, it's like she knows what she wants, but she can't. Like, aww. There's not that, like, you get the communication is just like she'll point and there's like, well, there's like 50 things over there. What is it that you want? And whichever one, it's never it. But
bam.
Yeah, exactly. So as we're kind of starting to wind things down a little bit, Melissa. What's the rest of your year look like? I mean, as far as running goes, you know, things didn't quite work out with the trials this year, but you know, it is what it is. But what's the rest of 2016 look like for you? Maybe even going a little bit beyond that.
Yeah, when one door closes, another one usually opens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm just painting this week. I get to do fun things because I don't have to train for the trials.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do one or two kind of more national races where there's master scoring. So I'll turn 40 in May. Mm. So I want to take full advantage of the onset of that category. I'm looking at maybe the 25K in Michigan and the grandma's half marathon in June. I'm on the Twin Cities Track Club. So there's team circuit races all throughout the year. There's the Get in Gear 10K, Brian Kraft 5K, there's the Torchlight 5K, the MDRA 15K, Twin Cities 10 Mile. So you could just stay here all year and just run all the circuit and you'd have a full calendar.
Definitely.
So, yeah, as long as my coach lets me run, those are kind of on my radar for the year. And then maybe a fall marathon where they have a master's category. So, and then that world record would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes. So, that would be really cool.
That'd be a good year.
That would be a pretty darn good year for sure.
I'd take it.
Definitely.
And then healthy, like not injured. That would be good too. Yeah,
that's always a big thing. Have you dealt with a lot of injuries? My background is in athletic training, so I'm always kind of an injury nut. I love talking injuries, but of course hate to have to deal with folks fact that they've been injured. Do you have much of an injury history?
I was more injured in my early years. I think it took me a while to figure out perfect nutrition and that weights are really a good thing. So I think once you strengthen your stabilizers, I think you correct a lot of inefficiencies. I think I've eliminated like the stress fracture type of thing. I haven't had one, knock on wood, since like 2004. That was before the Olympic trials. I ended up with double stress fractures in my tibia. You probably know this.
Yeah, the shin, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was probably the worst. And then I did get injured like on a cruise ship one year, but that wasn't like horrid.
Mm-hmm.
I have a big toe that doesn't bend. It's called talus rigidus. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I switched shoes to the Saucony. I'm having a brain thing this morning. Anyway, I switched to the Mirage.
Okay.
And those have changed. I've been able to run. So
is that more of like a rigid sole?
No, it's more movement is actually helpful. I was wearing really heavy Kianos and for like 13, 14 years. And I think my feet forgot how to like lift up in the back. So my toe took the brunt of it. And so that's like the worst that I deal with, but I can still run on it. I just know that it's there. But.
Definitely. It's kind of maybe the closing. We'll see where this question leads. But like I said, we're getting close to wrapping things up. One thing that I love asking folks that have whether it's a long career or whatever, people that have been running for a while. A lot of the folks that listen to the show have been, you know, somewhat serious runners, but have only been running for 2-3 years, something like that. are there any tips, tricks, things like that that you've learned, maybe the hard way, hopefully not the hard way, but you know, that have helped with your the length of your career? I mean, you know, many years of running, for the most part, not too seriously injured, obviously, from what we just talked about, that you can kind of pass on, things to pay attention to, or anything like that that you can share with some of the newer runners that are listening to the show?
Yeah. Well, Ben Bruce this weekend made a really good point. He said we were talking about Ryan Hall retiring, and he said he noticed that the people who, not that this is a negative to Ryan Hall, but in his career, he's noticed the people that have lasted the longest have been the ones that have really sorted out their nutrition. And they don't, you know, like if you're undernourished, that type of thing, that's going to be a detriment. That might only do you good for a year, but then you're going to crash and not do as well. So I'd say figure out your nutrition, get your protein sources. And then, you know, and if you don't want to be a vegetarian, I mean, eating beef actually, I think, is a good source of iron and recovery stuff. So, yeah. And then definitely take your easy days easy. And it's okay if a workout isn't, or if your work is super stressful, or your day, that can be as much of a stress as a hard run. So it's sometimes good to just do a little easy 5 miler or defer that day and regroup the next day, but don't feel like you have to play catch up or push through something just to push through it, 'cause it's on your calendar.
Yeah. I agree with all of that stuff. Again, kind of coming from the sports medicine side of it, the injury side. I mean, like, it's good to go hard when you're supposed to go hard, but you can't go hard all the time, or things are gonna break down for sure.
Yeah.
And then obviously the food component and just the whole recovery side of things, whether it's stretching or getting a foam roller or whatever.
Yes.
Whatever things you might be into or might be exposed to or have access to, all of those types of things definitely help the body to recover. Which, if you want to be running for a while, like, there is some wear and tear that can go on, and you can, you know, a little preventative maintenance goes a long way.
Right. And I'm not naive into thinking like I'm going to be able to run forever, but I'm going to run as long as my body wants me to. Mm-hmm. So then I'll have to take up something like biking or golf, heaven forbid.
Well, but even then, you know, like, and maybe this is be something that would be harder for you, but I feel like,
or swimming.
Yeah, there you go. But you know, you may not be able to run and race as hard as you're accustomed to, but you know, maybe dialing back the intensity, you know, I don't know, just who knows, but that'd be something that would be interesting to see if you start to break down from running and racing as hard, if you can still run, but not, you know, you know what I'm trying to say, but you know.
Yeah. And I totally would be fine with that at some point. I just want it for now. I figure, why not go now while I can, and then just see if I'm still motivated. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. And as long as you're enjoying the hard workouts and the racing and you know, setting some master's records pretty soon, another couple of months, might as well go for it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Make so all the sunshines or whatever they say, right?
Yeah. That's one of those sayings that I don't know if anybody ever gets it right, but everybody always knows exactly what you're talking about. So guys, again, if you want to check out, connect with Melissa, say hi and follow along with what she's doing on the Twitter. You can find her at Melissa Gasek, and you can also connect with her on Facebook if you're so inclined. And I'll have those links in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/213. So, Melissa, thanks again for taking the time to do this. It was a long time coming. We tried to connect way back, and eventually we made it happen, which is cool, and that's fine. So, obviously, again, thank you for taking the time, and all the best going forward. Whatever the future might hold for you, nothing but the best.
You too. Take care of that little girl.
Will do. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Melissa and myself. And as always, you know what I'm about to say. I would love to know what stood out to you. What is your takeaway from listening to today's episode? For me, I think it's not one specific thing, but kind of a theme that showed up a few times during the course of our chat, and that is just kind of the importance sometimes of being kind of laid back, being kind of go with the flow type of person, which is something that I feel like I am most of the time, and I think that it's an asset to me, and I feel like that's something that came up a few times in chatting with Melissa today. You know, when we talked about her business thing, she's like, I can kind of live wherever as long as I can take my computer and have internet access. Like I can go wherever. When we talked about running with friends or running by herself, you know, she talked about, you know, that both have benefits, and sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other. And I think that kind of flexibility is something that I think we all know we need, and some people are have an easier time finding that flexibility than others. But you know, with our busy lives, we have to be able to adjust. We have to be able to kind of go with the flow. And that was just kind of something that stuck out to me during the course of this chat. So that's my takeaway. And now you know the next thing I'm going to say. I want to know what stood out to you. What was your takeaway from this episode? Was it something that I said? Was it something that she said? You know, what stood out to you? What is it that you're going to remember after listening to this chat today? So shoot me a tweet. Let me know what your thoughts are at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or head over to the show notes for this episode, DizRuns.com/213, and leave a comment at the bottom there. And that way others can see and expound and add to and extrapolate with and, you know, kind of build on it. And then maybe we can have a little bit of a comment thread discussion, which is always a good time. So with that, don't forget to head over to Jobber.com. Thanks for them for sponsoring the podcast today. Go to Jobber.com/DizRuns. And who knows, maybe next month you can be the winner of a free pair of Jabra Pulse headphones. And they are definitely worth the 20 or 30 seconds, whatever it takes to, you know, enter your name and your email address and press submit, because that's all there is to it. So thank you again to Jabra for sponsoring today's episode. And with that, let's put a bow on this thing, guys. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And definitely looking forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care.